Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. The moment that you hire someone for your business, you are the CEO, you are the boss, but you are also a leader who really has an impact on someone who is within your business. And leadership can start easily before you get into business, but it really takes on a new level when you have an organization, when you are delegating. So if you want to become a great leader, you have to think about, how do I become a lifter leader? What exactly is that? We are going to talk about that in today's episode. If you want to be a great leader, this is the one for you. So today's guest who's going to join us today, he is the Chief of Strategy and Value Architect at the Non-Obvious Company. He is also a powerful mix of technologist, Harvard MBA professor, mindfulness yogi, and classic rock lover. And he brings all of these domains together somehow to transform companies, leaders, and the individuals in those organizations. He has advised global executives from 20 countries on business strategy and is a former executive at strategy firm Monitor Company. He has taught strategy and innovation in multiple MBA programs around the world, and his work has appeared on places like Forbes, CEO.com, Inc., and many other places as well. Today's guest for episode 301 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Paresh Shaw. Paresh, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, I'm thrilled already. I love your energy, and I see why you have such a great following. I'm so honored to be here and to be of service to you and your listeners. Just fire away.
Paresh, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really look forward to diving into this episode with you today. But before we start, can you give us a background on you, how you started, and what a lifter leader means to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I found myself being a promoter, I guess for lack of a better word, of a style of leadership that is based on my 25, 30 years of work and fascination and passion and obsession. And I'm a junkie around leadership and what makes organizations work and how do you create great innovation and non-obvious thinking. And so what I found myself as is a junkie for what is the new generation, the new type of leadership that every organization now needs. And we call it lifter leadership. It's leadership that's driven by positivity, purpose, authenticity, integrity, and leaders who understand that the world is shifting very dramatically right now as we speak, as we live, into a shift that is as transformational as the advent of the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, the information revolution, and now we are in the midst of the beginning of a fourth revolution. It's a revolution that lifters are really leading, just as any new revolution is you know, sourced, founded, and created by a few committed individuals, as Margaret Mead has so eloquently shared with us. It's those ones that create whole new things, whole new possibilities. And lifters are creating this new revolution, and it's a revolution of compassion, creativity, the interconnectedness of all, caring, and what I call a revolution of consciousness, a re-evolution. We're re-evolving to a consciousness that connects back with ancient wisdom, quantum physics, spirituality, self-help, and now, believe it or not, Mark Gaberti, because I didn't believe it myself in my journey, you can perform 10 times better than other companies, make more money, have more engaged workers, be the greatest innovators, build loyalty and trust with your customers, and be socially purposeful, and have 10 times the performance, according to a recent Harvard Business Review article, around companies that practice conscious leadership principles and build conscious leaders like Lifter Leaders. So you see, I'm really excited about it, and that is what I've become about. And frankly, it's been a shift for me as well in my evolution from an Indian kid, moved to Washington, D.C., became an engineer, because you only have two choices as an Indian kid, right? Engineer or? Fill in the blank, Mark.
What do you see as that blank? I want to make sure I don't see anything wrong.
Actually, yeah. Basically, growing up, it's like my dad was a doctor, and you pretty much become like a doctor or engineer. So you got two choices if you're like an Indian kid here. So I became an engineer because my dad, decided to be a doctor. And of course, I chose to do something different as the middle troublesome child. And so I became an engineer. I worked at Northrop Grumman building some really great high-tech defense radar systems and aerospace systems. And I love solving problems. I love big problems. I love curiosity and adventure and systems thinking to create new things. And along that journey, then I got fascinated with business. So I got my MBA. And loved business. It was a new domain. It was a new sport for me. It's like, wow, this is so cool, how you can bring these different pieces and parts together, like marketing and whether it be digital or analog, and psychology and organizational behavior and production and finance. And so that served me really well for decades as a entrepreneur and as a consultant to some major companies and CEOs. And then I got very much into innovation and the creative aspect through all of this interest in what it takes to make humans click. And then I very much got into mindfulness, and I became, to my own astonishment, a yogi. I fell into yoga and meditation about a decade ago, all in, jumped right in, and then became a real junkie around consciousness and wisdom teachings, and started teaching here in LA, and have found now that the world is ready to bring these worlds together: leadership, profitability, serving the world, being mindful, well-being, inner well-being, outer well-being, and how people who are lifters are the sort of advanced troops, just like the geeks and nerds were during the information revolution. Like, they basically built that whole revolution and built a whole new world that we couldn't have even imagined before. And the companies that understood that and embraced those people, cultivated them, let them run wild with their crazy ideas, like this thing called the internet and mobile computing, those companies now rule the world. And my research and my team's research predicts that lifters are the new geeks. We, you're one for sure, Mark. I imagine most of your listeners are the new geeks and nerds in a new way that get it. They get it's about, you don't go out and pursue and attack and, go capture customers and do what you can to make a buck transactionally. No, that's the old model that we've moved out of, and we're moving into one where lifters don't need to, attack and pursue and capture customers. No, lifters serve. We inspire. We attract. We lift, and it's a whole different model. So that's what I'm excited about. It's bringing that mashup that you described earlier, technology and problem solving with business, because we love to build enterprises that can employ people, which take care of families, that give people a great growth experience where they can be themselves and express their own creativity, and serve our planet and be good corporate citizens. So that's how the engineer became a business person, became this roguey yogi. I went rogue, and I became like a monk for like a year or two while we were living in Paris, really studying what does it take for humans to flourish, and getting into yoga and becoming a teacher, and then bringing it all back together into this integrated approach, which is really the cutting edge of what every organization needs, small or large, which is what we call Lifter Leadership.
And with that lifter leadership, there's like a lot of deep parts in it. There's basically a positive vibe to it, thinking about the people who you're serving and trying to serve as many as you can. And one of the interesting things that I got from lifter leadership is that you want to give more than you get. And at the same time, you want to be profitable. And I feel like some people, they struggle with finding that in between ground between giving so much free content like blog posts, videos, podcast episodes, just publishing those for free, and then turning that into revenue from like a book, a training course, coaching, whatever it may be. So how do we balance the give and serving our audience with being able to make that profit so we can actually continue to spread our message?
No, that's a great question, and a lot of folks, you know, struggle with that. Lifters are givers. It's one of the core principles of lifters, very giving. And what we talk about and train organizations, you know, either large ones and in workshops or in our online training, is how do lifters also lift by receiving, by accepting help, by asking for help, and by taking care of themselves. And so there are a variety of ways to give and still take care of yourself. One of the things that we really have found is one of the principles, we have four mind shifts to be a lifter, almost like, you know, Stephen Covey had seven habits of highly effective people. We have four mind shifts that are happening right now. The world is changing, and the people who shift into this new way of thinking around these four principles are the ones who are best equipped to lead us into this whole new exciting phase of humanity. And one of the second mind shift we call tune or consequences. And the whole idea is we must be authentic and have integrity. And when we vibe out, and you used the word vibration, when we put out a certain vibration, a certain positivity, a certain depth of givingness, things will get attracted to us. However, sometimes what we have found, particularly with lifters, and your audience must be high index lifters, is the inability to honor ourselves and kind of move further into being able to monetize it. I mean, it's basically the direct way of doing it rather than just give it. And what we have found often is that lifters who are so giving don't take advantage because they feel uncomfortable, frankly, with the ask because they're so giving. For instance, I just gave a keynote at a major conference for women executives. And in talking with their chairperson, I said, what areas of lifter leadership can we emphasize? What would be helpful? What are your folks struggling with? And, you know, it was like, well, we all want more business and we're struggling with getting more business. And as we dug deeply, because I love digging deeply and not just at the surface, what we found, the root cause of their inability to get more business wasn't the typical, like, you know, you got to learn to network and get a business card and follow up and use LinkedIn and, you know, content marketing. What they found, the root was worthiness. So for instance, let's say one of these companies or executives landed a big contract with a big company, pick a Fortune 30 company that you would be thrilled to have as a client. What they found was they didn't want to push that relationship and ask for, hey, who else can you introduce me to? What we found was that they were so grateful because lifters operate from a space of gratitude. They're like, wow, I'm so blessed and I'm so lucky that I was able to get this contract. I don't want to push my luck. Like, I should just be grateful. And so what we realize is with people like you who are very giving in your content and in your support, etc., if you go to the root of how do you unlock this from so that we can monetize it, worthiness and the ability to go, you know what, I'm worth it, my stuff is good, and I'm able to ask for that next level, that upgrade, that license for my content. And it's that vibration, as you said, that we put out that will set up the field for us to magnetize revenues, clients, or repel it. And frankly, self-doubt, poverty consciousness, and the inability to receive because of, you know, this worthiness is this invisible shield that keeps us as givers from receiving the abundance that life has to offer, because lifters in particular understand that there is no scarcity and abundance comes through as we serve, and our job is to shunt that abundance to worthy causes or worthy employees or team members who can help us do more lifting. So it's like, you know, you just want to keep piling it back in so we can lift more people. So I think that would be the one word I would have your listeners tune into. So let's take three deep breaths as a yogi after I ask this question and contemplate this. Okay, so here's the question, and let's take three deep breaths. Do you feel you are worthy of being extremely wealthy and a conduit of that wealth towards worthy causes that lift others? Let's take three deep breaths. Shall we, Mark?
Sure.
Ready? Do you feel worthy? Honestly, because that's often the limitation that lifters and givers confront, and they feel often guilt because of their blessings, because of, you know, where they are in life, that they don't want to push it. They don't feel that they can, you know, offer their service and sort of, hey, Mark, is there anyone you can introduce me to since you found value in what I had to offer in that content? Do you think there's some way that we can work together? I could serve you, you know, write content for you, whatever your listeners seek to do in a way that, you know, quote, monetizes it, that delivers financial value to you for your great work and gifts, not just karmic value, which we all know comes back around a zillion times.
That's a really interesting question you pose, that sense of feeling worthy that we're able to achieve this enormous wealth, that we're able to, even like really basic things like worthy of being on that stage, worthy of writing a book,
yep.
Worthy of people's time, because some people feel like their content isn't worth anyone's attention.
Yes.
So how can we develop a deeper sense of self-worth? Because I don't feel like we could really advance in any front, whether it's you want to be a leader or you just want to get more traffic. I don't feel like we could really advance on any front unless you really have that self-worth down.
Question. I'm all about practicing. I play guitar. You got to practice if you one day want to shred like Eddie Van Halen, which I'm not doing yet. You have to practice yoga if you want to do a posture longer than you first could. And so there are a couple, there are very specific skills we teach our, you know, training clients and et cetera. I'll give you just a glimpse of a couple of ones to your very great question. So one of the things I love to do, and you know, my kids sort of laugh at me sometimes, is I like to do like super celebrations of me that are like little celebrations. Like, I'm going to go get dessert first because I'm worthy and I'm special. Or, you know, creating these little I am worthy moments to activate the feeling of what it feels like to be worthy. Because a lot of what lifter leadership is driven by, Mark, as distinct from the earlier types of leadership that companies have been operating under for the past 150 years or so, is that in the past, it was very much about being, you know, aggressive and you know going and, you know, grabbing what you can from your customers before you get caught. Now it's quite different. So you know, celebrating yourself in silly ways to have the feeling of I'm worthy, because lifters are guided by two dashboards. Like, I've done many dashboards for executives and CFOs, you know, with the red, yellow, green, or on the top metrics that they need to track in their daily, weekly, you know, quarterly meetings. And there's a new dashboard that Lifter leaders are really learning to lean into, which is what we call the body dashboard, the body board. And how do we feel? And when we attract and feel the feeling that we want and celebrate the, hey, I'm worthy, I feel good, I'm you know, I'm a rock star. Like, I will get, for instance, if I'm at a concert, because I love rock and roll music, I will, with my buddies who are also into this stuff, turn around and put my arms up in the air and, like, take a bow to 40,000 people, right? Even though it's really the Scorpions playing behind me that they're all, like, cheering for. And you get that feeling, and you kind of trick yourself into, you know what? I'm worthy. I'm a rock star. In whatever way that feels, it might be, I can get ice cream or dessert before I have dinner, therefore I'm a rock star, you know, little guilty pleasures, I'm special, I'm worth it, or, hey, you know what, get up on stage and blow it out. And as we activate that feeling, it creates the vibe, as you said, of worthiness, and in doing so, it drops that defense of, oh, I might get hurt, to ask someone for money. I might embarrass myself. I don't know how to handle asking a friend if they can introduce me for, how I can monetize what I'm doing. And it drops that because it just feels so good. So that's number one, is find little celebrations or big celebrations. You know, we have fireworks. I live here in Los Angeles, yeah. And they have fireworks on Christmas Day in Manhattan Beach, California, over the ocean and the pier, and they light a big Christmas tree. You know, it's like 75 degrees out, and it gives you that feeling of, you know, wow. And they have fireworks, and my birthday, coincidentally, is July 4th, but it's not coincidentally. And my mom always said, "But Ish, those fireworks, they're for you, son." And to me, they are, to some extent. It's like, yeah. And feeling that then activates that, hey, you know what? There's fireworks in the sky for me. And that same feeling of worthiness and like, wow, can then attract how you can serve people and how they would value what you do. So that's number one, little celebrations. Number two is have a team. In yoga, we call it a sangha. In church, we would call it, you know, a congregation. In music, we would call it a band with your fans and your fan club. So find other people who you can jointly celebrate worthiness with. You know, it's like, hey, you know, you're amazing, Mark, because, you know, I was reading your background and listening to some of your talks. You've written, 19 books so far?
I'm hovering a little over 20.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. So, you know, I celebrate you. You're like, I'm on my first book, Lifters. It's coming out in the next 6 months. It's called I Am a Lifter. Everyday ordinary leaders who uplift their coworkers, their customers, their community, and their companies in extraordinary ways. And like, how amazing is it? So the second one is find other band members to rock with, to vibe with around this. Hey, you know what? We're really good. And it's okay to say, I'm a rock star, as long as you know in the background, we're really not so much. We're just vessels. We're just serving. And we just happen to be instruments. And it's like, you know what? I'm a great instrument. And it reminds me of what Jimi Hendrix used to say, you know, as they say, you know, we are instruments for goodness, we're instruments of service, we're instruments of gratitude. Jimi Hendrix took it to a new level. He said, I don't play guitar, I play amplifier. So having another group or an individual with you to be your amplifier around worthiness is really important. And I also find early morning affirmations and putting little stickers all over the place. You're amazing. Everything you need is right there. People value your stuff. Really makes a big difference. So those are three little practices you can do, you know, constantly, along with gratitude, of course, which is the ultimate always practice for everything, that help you get into the space of worthiness, which will then magnetize worthiness of money, worthiness of contracts, worthiness of clients, and worthiness of new ways to use your content or your speaking, etc., to serve. So those are some tips on worthiness. And if that's all your listeners get, I really, really, pray for this, because it really, there's amazing people out there who just are so giving. I was working with some healthcare professionals and a nursing association, and these nurses are so giving that their number one issue, self-love. They're not in great physical shape. Some of their relationships are in not the best shape because they're so giving, so compassionate, so empathetic, and lifters are compassionate. And so self-love and worthiness will activate and get into the feeling of it in your body. Not that it's happening later. Right now I'm worthy. I feel like $1 million. I walked into the gym the other day and my trainer was like, "Hey, Paresh, you look like $1 million." I said, "Dude, you think too small. I look like $1 billion. And then a bunch of people started, "Yeah, Paresh." And like that just feels good. And then you're activating that, you know what? Why not? And then other people start affirming it, going, "Yeah, actually $1 million is not much." In if we think about it in terms of possibilities we're trying to create. So
I mean it's really interesting for us to think about our self-worth, because I mean it's something that a lot of people feel very uncomfortable talking about their accomplishments, but the people who do feel comfortable, they feel way too comfortable talking about their accomplishments. So you just got to find a middle ground where you can take in your self-worth a little bit but not get a big ego, which is what a lot of people think happens if you say one good thing about yourself. So that's something really interesting to think about, because again, you need to have that feeling of self-worth, like I'm impressive, I am awesome, to yes. Really push forward and hit the goals that you want to hit. And I know another thing you mentioned about lifter leadership is the creativity. And I'm wondering, what are some things we could do to boost our creativity? Is this like a question that we have concrete answers to, or is this like a more experiences kind of thing?
No, not at all. It's a great question. So to boost our creativity, there's a variety of things. The third mind shift I've given you, the second one was what we call tune or consequences. You have to tune into your body, tune into your authentic self, and tune into your integrity around what you're about, and then tune into your self-worth so that you can flourish. And if you don't tune in, you don't have authenticity, you don't have integrity, you'll have consequences as well. So that's the second mind shift. We've skipped the first one for now, and that's called tune or consequences. To your question, Mark, creativity, that leads us to the third mind shift, which is that what we call lifters are yes and people and leaders. They are yes and leaders. So it used to be in the earlier type of management, which most companies are only beginning to transition into, and they're transitioning very quickly into this new model, lifter type model I'm talking about, is it used to be that they'd say, "Oh, hello, Mark, you want to come work at our company? Are you a quantitative type? Or are you a creative type? Because maybe we can put you in the graphic in the art department. Or are you good with people? And we can put you in terms of input in sales." And you had to decide what box you were in. Am I sales? Am I marketing? Am I finance? Am I, you know, quantitative analysis? And that is breaking down very quickly, particularly because innovation and disruption are in the hearts of minds of every company, every CEO. My company is called the Non-Obvious Company, and what we do is we help organizations, governments, companies think in non-obvious ways to solve their biggest problems, e.g. innovation. How do we create innovation skills, mindsets, and abilities and teach people how to fish innovation? And so this yes and is very important as a mind shift, because in my 25 years of working in innovation and strategy and leadership, it's at the intersection of ideas that great, great, great innovations come. When you bring different worlds together, you know, you bring technology, analysis, and marketing together, like that's a new thing, right? Your folks, some of them are developing content on the web. You need to be agile with numbers and web analytics and click-through rates and A/B testing, different copy, and you know, these sorts of things. So it's mashup of what used to be marketing off in one domain, you know, with advertising and graphics and, you know, slogans and things, and mathematics and computers in another domain, and you bring it together and you have all these cool content marketing abilities. So It's at what we call intersection thinking that great innovation happens. And every company needs innovation. 88% of CEOs are unhappy with the pace of innovation in their company. That's why they're calling us to help them innovate, because they're relying on half of their revenues in the next 5 years to come from new stuff, new services, new products, new ways to recruit and engage their workers so they can be productive. And they're falling really short. So this yes and mind shift is very powerful, because you can get someone, you know, like a Mark Guberti, who, you know, is a writer, he's a podcaster, he's a marketing expert, he's, you know, he's so many things, and he brings them together in his own unique, gifted way. And that is what lifter leader companies recognize and support and nurture, is what aspect of who you are can you apply your own creative gifts to in your job so that you can feel fulfilled and make a contribution at the same time. So that is one way at a broad level that we can be more creative, is acknowledge, and it gets back to self-worth, my friend. You see the theme here? Acknowledge, hey, you know what? Because I used to separate my worlds, Mark. I was like, okay, I'm an entrepreneur, and I've got all these entrepreneurs I hang out with, and you know, I'm an MBA, and you know, I'm a business geek over here talking about business and finance and that sort of thing, and then over here I'm, you know, teaching yoga, you know, chanting mantras, you know, wearing crystals, and, you know, doing, you know, talking about self-help and law of attraction and intention and these kinds of things. And I was segregating these different worlds, because I was like, I can't have my Harvard MBA classmates know that I'm, you know, running around in like elephant pants and, you know, mantras. I can't have, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can't have my CEO clients of a Fortune 30 company know that I love Judas Priest heavy metal and I play electric guitar, because I felt that these were separate aspects and I wouldn't be accepted, my self-worth. And what I have found over the past 5 or 6 years is I brought these worlds together that may seem weird, like what, engineer, techie, yogi, professor, writer, keynote speaker, dad, you know, surfer. It's like, what does this guy do? It's the yes ands. And when you bring your unique yes ands together in a powerful way, there's no one like you. As the Scorpions would say, there's no one like you, Mark. And so finding your yes ands that you love, and really exploring and giving yourself permission to say, okay, I'm really great at this, and I'm really great at that, and I'm really great at that, with some depth, not just surface across a bunch of stuff, and go, how can I bring this stuff together? And go, yes, I am good at math, and I'm great with people, and I take care of my grandmother on the weekends, and I make a mean pasta, and I'm working on you know, Eruption by Eddie Van Halen, and maybe in the next 20 years, I'll get close to it. And it's that and bringing it together in your own unique, valued way, where you don't hide it. You bring it all together to wherever you are and go, you know what, how do we bring my love for music into my content writing? How do we bring my love for ancient literature into, you know, my keynotes, etc., and mash them up? And that's where the power is. And as an innovation trainer, expert, coach to CEOs and marketing folks, it's at these intersection of ideas, the intersection of worlds, where magic happens. And so honor that, and feel worthy to take those weird aspects of who you are and shine a light on them, and in some way link them to whatever your business endeavor is. And that's where amazing creativity will come. Does that make sense, Mark?
Yes. And that, I mean, I really like this theme again of self-worth. We keep coming back to that. And that's very important, because I mean, I mentioned it before, you need to have self-worth to really make all this big progress. And we're very quick to shortchange ourselves. And yes, we're not that quick to give ourselves that self-worth. And I feel like that is such a big thing that's holding a lot of people back from reaching their goals. They just see what they haven't done, and they don't see anything that they have done to get to the position they are in now. And I'm wondering if you could share with us anything else that you believe holds people back from reaching their full potential?
No, it's absolutely, it's a great question. So one of the other things we talk about when we train folks, and we actually have a diagnostic, which we're happy to share with you, to go, how do we feel? Do your listeners feel that this message is resonating with them? Do they feel like they're a lifter? So we've got this little diagnostic on our website, which if you're interested, we can refer to at the end, because lifters are really hard on themselves, right? We're givers and we're hard on ourselves. We always feel like we have to do more. And so this self-worth theme is really important. Here's a couple of tips that I share, across the board now with my CEOs, with, clients that we do workshops with, when I do keynotes, when I teach yoga, when I'm with my children, giving them, fatherly advice, which, one day maybe they might pick up, is the following. Number one, if there's one takeaway, and this isn't mine, this is sort of an amalgam around self-worth. These are the four C's to be happy in life. And it's amazing once you start practicing this. These are the four C's to avoid in order to be happy. If you don't do these C's, you will be happy. You do not compare, compete, complain, or criticize others or yourself to others or yourself, even in your own mind. Shall we try that again, Mark? I bet you're going to be able to chime in on some of those.
Yeah,
the four C's to avoid are: we do not compare, compete, complain, or criticize others or yourself, to others or to yourself, even in your own mind. That is your practice for your listeners. I tell you, it will change your life. It will change your life because there is no other. We are all interconnected, but that's another conversation. And here's what's really powerful about it. If we don't compare, compete, complain, or criticize ourselves or others to ourselves or others, then think about how much freedom that gives us, how much of our mind goes into that, how much of our thinking. And then the other thing, which I really sometimes am stern with them, with my yoga students who are really great students around, they just want to get better at life and they're just chomping at the bit for that next level of, self-development and progress and, professional progress and spiritual progress and, personal progress, is I'll sometimes get really rough on them because people are falsely humble. They're like, oh, well, with my luck, this will happen. Or, I'm just stupid and I say, never insult yourself. Never, ever, ever. And for some reason, people somehow think that they're getting some sort of approval from others by being falsely humble or critical of self. If there's a second thing that your listeners get from me, and if this is all I did on this planet, I would say stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. It's not helpful when you talk about yourself and put yourself down, even in a joke, even in a joke, even with a little, oh, you know what, well, I'm really bad at that. Don't do it. You'll create it. You'll create it. That is very important. In society today, for some reason, people get off on knocking themselves down and they somehow think they will get approval from others by doing that. And that whole thing what I just described is a big mess. It's a big error to do that. First of all, to seek approval from others is not necessary because we are worthy and we have self-worth. We don't need other people's approval. And secondly, that false humility doesn't honor what we are great at. Like, I know I am great. Wait, Mark, give me three things you are great at. You can rattle them off because you've got self-worth. Go.
Podcasting, creating content, and engaging with my community.
Fantastic, right? And you stand sovereign and claiming that, right?
Yes.
So here's the next thing for your listeners, in addition to what we talked about before. If I asked you right now, how many listeners do you have? 500,000?
We've got plenty of listeners.
Okay. If I asked your listeners right now, name me three things that you are sovereignly awesome at, can you rattle them off? Think about it. What are you claiming? Because we must claim being awesome. And it's okay. Like I don't care to do things like finance and accounting and things like that. And I know I am awesome because these are our gifts. It's not me. We are given gifts to share with other people. We're just instruments, as we talked about. And so I know I'm awesome at bringing a team together in a room and solving really hard problems and getting them to love on each other. Get rid of the underbelly of things that they're not willing to talk about, the big turds on the table and the political stuff between people. Get them to love on each other, align around a certain set of priorities, decide here's the 95% of stuff we're not going to do anymore, which is wasting our time, eating up our resources, confusing our people, keeping people up late at night doing unnecessary things that don't drive as much incremental value. Here are the four or five things we're going to really focus on, and here's how we're going to innovate around it. Here's how we're going to lead against it. Here's how we're going to engage our people against it, and action from there. That's what I'm great at. I'm great at spiritual and wisdom teaching. It somehow came about in recent years, and it's just fun because I don't really have to do much. It just sort of comes through. I'm great at sizing up a business situation and coming up with a strategy, and sometimes some really non-obvious, crazily cool ideas that I can just generate based on conversation. So that's what I'm great at. So to the users, declare I am great at 1, 2, 3. I claim it. I claim it as something I can use. It's not mine, and I claim it as something I can use through me to fulfill what I'm about. And see how that feels. Doesn't it feel good in your body just to talk about that, Mark? Do you feel it like in the middle of your chest? Doesn't it feel good?
It does, definitely.
So I ask your listeners, where do you feel it? When I say, hey, listener, fill in your name, you are awesome at this. You are sovereignly, I can see why you rock at that yes and that yes and that yes and gift, skill, capability. I can see how you're naturally, uniquely gifted to do that. And see how great that feels in your body. Is it in your chest? Is it in your shoulders? See where you start relaxing. Often when we start doing that, your neck and your upper chest and your shoulders will start relaxing because you're like, wow, I actually am worthy. I don't need to be so stressed and worried and insecure. So the four C's, very important. No comparing, no competing, no complaining, no criticizing others, yourself, to others, to yourself, even in your mind. And do not say statements about yourself that are negative ever. Just don't, even in joke. And watch how great your life will just transform into overnight. And don't fall into this thing that many people do with, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, with my, blah, 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 I'll never blah, blah, blah. Don't do it. It's an insult to your sovereignty. It's an insult to how awesome you are. It's an insult to the possibility that any human can do anything if they're really believing it, committed to it, take action against it, and feel it as has happened right now.
Paresh, my man, dropping a lot of valuable insights in this episode. And I mean, if we just really like the words we say really make a difference, not just on others, but also on ourselves. So we really need to be careful about the words we use, how we talk about ourselves, and even in joke. I mean, it really does carry over on a subconscious level.
No
And
doubt. You know what? Can I jump in right there, Mark?
oh,
You
yeah,
really hit on a
sure.
great point. So underneath each of our mind shifts, the second mind shift, as I mentioned, is called tune or consequences. The third mind shift is lifters are yes and leaders. Under the first mind shift, which we can get you more info on, it's called The Hunt is Over. We have three skills we teach organizations, practical, learnable skills that help you get into these mindsets really quickly and these mind shifts really quickly. And the first skill we teach our clients is what we call word watching. Lifters are word watchers. So think about, I'm going to give you two feelings to compare and feel it in your body and go, wow, how different does this feel? So I'm going to give you the old world and new world and see how it feels. In the old world, when I was at Harvard Business School, I learned to be very effective at hunting for customers, targeting you, capturing you, segmenting you, analyzing you, transacting with you so I could have my share, and the competition would be beaten and we'd kill the competition. How does that feel in your body?
Not the best.
Okay, now let's shift it into the way lifters work. Lifters don't need to hunt, target, capture. Lifters inspire customers. We serve them. We elevate them. We help them. We lift them. How does that feel, Mark?
Definitely a lot better.
And you see how the words reflect the cognitions, which reflect the behaviors, which reflect the policies, which reflect how we show up at work with our customers, with our employees, etc. So we give people ways to transform, see how the words they use create their world, because our thoughts, our words, our feelings, and our actions create our worlds, our realities, etc. Here's another exercise. We want a real quick one for your audience to really nail this one?
Let's do it.
Okay. So let's take a deep breath, everyone. Let's take a big yogi breath. Ready? And exhale. Okay. Now feel what it feels like in this first scenario, and then we're going to erase it and then come to the second one. So repeat after me. And if you're, you know, listening on the train, repeat after me and watch the people near you wonder what you're saying. Ready? I'd like to go on vacation, but I don't have the money. I'd like to go on vacation, but I don't have the money. Please repeat that, Mark.
All right. I'd like to go on vacation, but I don't have the money.
And where does that feel? How do you feel it?
Definitely hurts. Feels everywhere.
Right. Okay. So now, everyone feel that. I feel it in my shoulders. I feel it in my buttocks. I feel it down my back. I'd like to go on vacation, but I don't have the money. I feel it in the middle of my chest. Okay. So now let's take our Etch-a-Sketch and shake it over our head. Clear off all that feeling. Let's take another deep breath. And I'm going to give you another one, and I want you to compare before, after, just like we did before. Ready? Deep breath in again, everybody, please. Let's clean our Etch-a-Sketch. Okay, repeat after me. And be highly aware of how you feel. I'd like to go on vacation, and I don't have the money yet. I'd like to go on vacation, and I don't have the money yet. Mark?
I'd like to go on vacation, but I don't have the money yet.
Oh, I said and. Try again.
I'd like to go on vacation, and I don't have the money yet.
How does that feel?
It definitely feels a lot better. You see the potentials there.
Exactly. It feels better, and it's full of possibilities versus the other one basically constrains. It ties the two outcomes together. Vacation, money now, it ties them together and handcuffs you. It links them and constrains you versus I'd like to go on vacation and I don't have the money yet is possibility rich. It helps you think in non-obvious ways about, hey, maybe I can barter for vacation. Maybe I can save. Maybe I can do a Kickstarter campaign. Maybe I can redefine what a vacation is, do a staycation. You see how the words shift the possibilities, shift how you feel, and shift what is, you know, in front of you.
Yeah, like the, yeah, they have a really big impact on just on a physical sense and also on an emotional, spiritual, every kind of sense, the words really play a big role.
Exactly. So that is, those are just some glimpses into this whole new model, because you can you see how we've been operating in that other model of hunt, tack, you know, predator, prey, victim, victor, competition, scarcity has been our mindset for hundreds of years. And now we're shifting into this servant leadership, this givingness. And it's a really cool pendulum swinging. And lifters are the new rock stars. like the new geeks and nerds who are basically creating this whole new world. So if you're a lifter, like, you will be employed if you do this well, because companies need people with these mind shifts and the skills to bring their companies out of the old model into this new model, where we lift our coworkers, our customers, our community, and therefore our companies, rather than the other way around. And anyone can be a lifter. You don't need to be a manager or a senior person. A receptionist can be a lifter, you know, who people come in and they, you know, thousands of people pass him or her, and you know, that person can fundamentally change those people's days. They may have had a rotten day, there may have been a tragedy, and that person can change the biology, the emotions, the psychology, and the relationships of everyone in that building for that day, everyone those people interact with, their customers, their families, the people on the road. And so therefore, anyone can be a lifter in this new model. It's not a hierarchical thing.
And I mean, I agree, like, anyone really has the opportunity to make an impact on people. And one of the ways that people have made impacts on others is through books. I mean, your book, Lifts Your Leadership, that is a really, like, if you've liked this episode, I'm sure you'll like that book. But I'm wondering if you could share with us three other books that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
Yes, absolutely. Here's a, so one of them is another book which I'm a co-contributor to, and my business partner is really the rock star. I just help him out. And it's a book called Non-Obvious. And it's a Wall Street Journal bestseller. And what we do is we predict the future, and we can see things others don't see. And we predict 3 years out – I'm sorry, 3 months out, 1 year out, 2 years out, at what's happening that's non-obvious that others don't see that we're able to see. And we've been predicting, Rohit's actually been predicting since 2011, 15 non-obvious trends that apply to every business. They're not industry specific, because we're innovators. We're intersection thinkers. We see industries around the world. We see different way, you know, small, big, and we go, wait a minute, what's happening across all industries? So Rohit has been predicting 15 non-obvious trends since 2011, and every year we publish a new Wall Street Journal bestseller called Non-Obvious, in which we make these predictions. And in the back of the book, we have every prediction that's ever been made with a grade, and you will see that Rohit and now our team has actually become very adept at seeing things others don't see, being able to predict and kind of look around the corner before others. So we train our clients in how to see things others don't see, because we have a track record for it, proven. How do you, you know, get ahead and see around the corner and see what's non-obvious before everyone else sees it as obvious? So that's one book. It's called Non-Obvious, and there's a 2019 edition is going to hit the shelf first week of January. The 2018, 17, 16 version continue to be available. And if you go to the Non-Obvious Company website, nonobviouscompany.com, nonobviouscompany, Non-Obvious Company, no dashes or anything. .com, you can find out more about that book, which Rohit, my business partner, has really shepherded. That's number one. The second book is a non-business book, which was really a fundamentally frame-shifting book for me. It's a book by Edwin Abbott that I read probably in elementary or junior high, which I still recommend to my CEO clients and celebrities and execs I work with. It's a book called Flatland by Edwin Abbott. Have you read that book, Mark?
I have not.
Flatland. It's a small book. You can read it, you know, in a short plane ride, and it helps one think about new possibilities. And the premise of the book is that there is a two-dimensional world in which triangles, squares, lines, and circles exist as the beings. And it's a two-dimensional world, so you don't really know if something is a triangle or a square or a circle unless you're above it. But there's certain behaviors, like if a triangle comes at you, it could be a line coming at you that's like a little line that gets longer as it comes towards you in a two-dimensional plane, or it can poke you because it'll be a triangle point poking you. So it's all about these different inhabitants of this planet, of this plane called Flatland, which is a two-dimensional reality, and they have, you know, the men are certain shapes, the women are certain shapes, the philosophers are certain shapes, the soldiers are certain shapes, and it gives you a perspective on how we can see things in a higher dimensional perspective. So, you know, what would a sphere look like in a two-dimensional world, going through a two-dimensional world? And how does that then imply how we might see non-obvious things, see things others don't see, and be able to perceive other kind of higher order dimensions? So that's the second book, which is a great book. It's called Flatland by Edwin Abbott. And the third book that I would recommend, I'm just trying to think of my bookshelf right now. I don't love – there's so many – wasted books out there, let me just think. Why give me one of your books in the meantime. It might spark my third idea. Give me an idea, one of yours, Mark, and it might spark. I've got so many choices.
Well, I do always recommend my own book, Content Marketing Secrets, which okay. Will be in the show notes, markberry.com/e301, along with the other two books that Paresh recommended, as long as there's one other book that we're waiting to see what it will be.
Well, you know what we just did, Rohit? We just did the top 100 non-obvious books, and we did an award. We looked at over 150 books, and Rohit and the team basically said these are the best non-obvious books. And so the book that we picked that I would pick in the top from the top 50, what we would call Bullshit Jobs by David Graeber. It's one of the most important books of 2018 in our non-obvious book award series. It's called Bullshit Jobs by David Graeber. And it talks about all these, you know, bullshit jobs. Why do people have bullshit jobs? There was one of the stories we share is that there was a guy, he was a guard at a museum. And so he reports to duty, but then the art hadn't come yet. And so he's standing there guarding nothing. And it's like, it's a bullshit job. And so it's a really interesting treatise on when people need jobs. And then there are people in bullshit jobs. And do you want a bullshit job, or do you want to do something that really is inspiring? And, you know, no one wants a bullshit job. We want to be lifters. We want to make a difference. We want to bring our yes and qualities, you know, to the game. Right. We want to, you know, be attuned and see what we want to create a feeling in other people that's affirmative and positive. And so that's the third book I would recommend. It's by David Graeber, Graeber. He's on our top 15 favorite books in our short list of the non-obvious book awards, which we've just released recently. And you'll see it on the nonobviouscompany.com website.
Paresh, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. We will have those in the show notes. Just once again, markberry.com/e301. And if you guys want to learn more about Paresh, don't forget about his book, Lifter Leadership. Yep. And I know he has his site, iamalifter.com. But I know there's something that you're offering us, something special for people who want to discover if they are a lifter. Where do we go for that?
Sure. Yeah. So we're finding people going, oh, my God, I finally have a word for who I am. This makes sense. And so it's really beautiful because I found it myself to go, what do we call people like Mark? What's common about us? Right. What makes us different? Because there's all this work and studies around millennials and, you know, how do we go after boomers, Paresh? How do we go after millennials? How do we get them to engage? And, you know, we do that as part of our training and our coaching. But ultimately, though, it's, you know, are you a lifter? And so the website for the book and for the movement and for the philosophy is iamalifter.com, because you probably are if you're listening to Mark Guberti's podcast. And on that, we actually have a little diagnostic to go, you know, how do you feel about being a lifter? You know, take a little quiz that our research team put together to see, you know, how you feel about being a lifter. So that's on that website. And so it's imalifter.com/breakthrough for Mark's guests. Imalifter.com/breakthrough. So we've got a diagnostic there if you'd like to take it. We have a TEDx talk, which I gave on lifter leadership, which is 12 minutes. My team really did a great job prepping me for it. I just happened to be the front man for a great band with a great message relevant to the times. So I think that will you'll find inspirational. We also I'm giving you, if you sign up, I'll get you some free preview glimpses of my book, I Am a Lifter, which will be coming out and in the airports and bookstores later this year through Idea Press Publishing. And in addition to the corporate workshops and keynotes that we give around innovation, lifter leadership, mindfulness and strategy, we have developed an online course called Lifter Leadership Academy, because many of our folks were smaller businesses or companies that, you know, we couldn't access because there's only so many of us to go around to give live workshops in. So we have a curriculum that we're rolling out that's an online version of Lifter Leadership training called Lifter Leadership Academy. And you guys are going to get a special break if you come through imalifter.com/breakthrough as friends of Mark and Breakthrough Success, this amazing podcast. So come to imalifter.com, see if you're a lifter. I bet you are. And parentheses, by the way, it's not that you are or are not a lifter, because we don't want to create a new classism. There's too much us and them in the world and blame of other people. Lifters are not morally superior. They're not better in any way. They're just equipped for the times. And so lifters are people who tend to show up more in the moment as positive, purposeful, helpful, authentic, here to serve, creative. That's what a lifter is. So if you tend to show up more that way and have a propensity to be that, then you can, you know, call yourself a lifter. But it's not that, you know, you are or are not. You're just prepared for the times. You've got the skills, the mindsets, and the wiring to go, hey, this is happening and I get it. You know what Presh is talking about? I feel it. Yeah. And it's almost like you're a nerd or a geek way back when computers and the internet were just like beginning to happen. And you're like, wait a minute, I know about this stuff. This is natural for me. Wow, there's a bunch of other people like me. Wow, we're important. We are sovereign in what we are great at. So I will leave you with that. And your homework, everyone, is claim your sovereignty. Remember the four C's and don't do them. Pick one day and watch how great you feel and share it with those around you who bug you the most. No complaining, no competing. I'm sorry, no competing, comparing, complaining, criticizing others, yourself, to others, or to yourself, even in your own mind. And do not diminish yourself in any way by saying comments about yourself that are unnecessary.
Paresh,
and you have breakthroughs. I wish you all breakthrough success.
Paresh, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing all of your resources and really great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun. It's really, really a joy to be of service, Mark. I hope you and all of your guests have great success and are able to apply this in your content marketing, et cetera, because you're very worthy. You've got great gifts. So just open up the floodgates for people to recognize what you first must recognize in yourself. You are very worthy of a lot. And I'll give you one last anecdote. Can I give you a 2-minute anecdote, Mark, that helped me make this click?
Sure.
So, you know, I have a variety of businesses as an entrepreneur, in addition to my coaching and the training and workshops and books that we do. And for one of my companies, I have a friend of mine who's been our lawyer in a variety of companies for like 10 years, and he charges $950 an hour. And so we kind of joke with him because he's been our lawyer. He's friends with many of my teammates. They've used him in their companies. And we're like, hey, Art, how's the family? And is the clock on when we're talking about, your son or the ball game? Because it's $950 an hour. right? And he's an amazing lawyer. He's like so great. You don't care what you pay him because he just cuts through the chase, and he doesn't have a bunch of lower cost people who are less adept at cutting right through it, charging all these hours. So it's kind of a joke with my wife and me that, you know, I'm talking to Art again, and you know what, at $950 an hour, I hope we can make the distinction as we weave between business and personal and his son and his wife and our common friends and, you know, the contract I need. And my wife actually really transformed me one day where I got a gig, and it was this worthy. I got this gig, and it was like, wow, they're going to pay me a lot of money to do this with this thing, which I just love doing. Isn't it incredible? And they were going to pay me something like, you know, $20,000 to come do a keynote. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I get to do what I love. I'm great at it. It helps people. And they're going to pay me $20,000 to come give my talk. And you know what my wife said, Mark?
What did she say?
She said, and Paresh, just remember, it's not a heist. And I looked at her. I said, what do you mean? She goes, you are worthy of $20,000 an hour. And I was like, whoa. She's like, you have built a reputation over 25 years. It's not like you're like, you know, tricking someone because you love it and you're good at it and you do it for free anyway. You're worthy. You've built a reputation with people. You've got your research. You're solid. You've been doing this, and it's a return on investment for those people who are bringing you in. And it truly clicked for me that day, Mark. It truly clicked. It's like, holy cow, I'm worth $20,000 an hour. And I no longer make fun of my friend Art at $950 an hour. You see what I mean?
Yes, I see what you mean.
And that was a major breakthrough because, you know, are you worth $20,000 an hour, Mark Guberti?
Depends on who's asking.
There you go. Exactly. It's a possibility, right? But sometimes we go, well, how can anyone be worth $20,000 an hour? But you go, you know what? To a large extent, you know, if there was a keynote here near where I live, I could go, do it, come back. And so she helped me deal with my own unworthiness. She said, you are worthy, honey. You're worthy. You're not getting away with anything. You know what I mean? So take that to heart, each of you. Like, what are you worth? What's a big number that you're worth? And feel it and have integrity with it, feeling I am. And watch what happens. Feel it in your body and say, I want more of that feeling. And then the universe will conspire with you to give you more of that great feeling of I'm worthy and I'm a contribution in the world. And I use my gifts to lift my coworkers, to lift our customers, to lift our community and lift our company as a result. So you've been a great lifter, Mark, and your listeners, and I'm so honored to be of service. Please let me know if I can be of any service. And please, everyone, go to imalifter.com, take out the survey, contact us. If you feel you're a lifter, there's a little contact form saying, hey, I'm a lifter. You know, get me a glimpse of your book when it comes out. I want to be helpful, whatever. Okay? And I hope everyone just has an amazing, amazing journey.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markguberti.com/PD.